All right, so just to recap. So we were discussing the din of Bitka Demaya. The Gemara says, the Gemara Kutzer Papa is saying that Haiman did Shakyale Bitka Demaya. Let's say Reuven ties Shimon down, and then he somehow unloads water onto Shimon. So the Gemara says that in this case, Reuven is Chayav for the water that comes out the Koch Ratio, but it's Pater B'Koch Sheni. So we discussed last time exactly what is the case here. According to the Ramah, the method that we're discussing is the case of Hasaras Manea, where you are removing something that is impeding water from running forth, from progressing. So you remove that slab, that blocking device, and allow the water to run forth. So that's what we're discussing. In that case, you're going to be Chayav B'Koch Rishon and Pater B'Koch Sheni. Koch Rishon, Koch Sheni, we noted there are at least three interpretations in Rishonim. First, Koch Rishon is the Kiluach Rishon, the first stream of water. Afterwards, it's Koch Sheni. Second, Koch Rishon refers to a case where the water falls upon the person immediately without running on the ground or running on the ground only for a small distance. It's Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way. Rabbeinu Yonah understood it that way, which is a little different than what Rashi sounds like. It sounds like he thinks it's just falling directly upon the person, but it's the same general idea. And then you had the opinion the Ramah cites, which is that Koch Rishon is referring to where the flow, the progress, is unimpeded at all at any point, whereas Koch Sheni is Mayim that it reached some impediment as it's flowing, and then it's only from the force of the water behind it, which dislodges it, that it goes forth. So we discussed that there is a chiddush here, regardless of what's Koch Rishon, even given that we know that you're chayav for projectiles, for Koch Gufo, it's still not obvious that you would have been chayav here. First of all, in this case, the Mayim is falling on its own, force of gravity. So that in and of itself, we discussed that the comparable case, just isolating that element of the chiddush, would be where if you just open up your hand and allow something to fall out of it. So that, we noted, is Machokas, Rush, and Rashba, whether or not Shelo B'Chavana, if you opened up your hand and you didn't realize there was something in it, is that considered to be Koch Gavra, is that considered to be Yemais Adam, or not? That's Machokas Yishon. The Rashba, and the Tarsbais, and the Chidushim thinks that will be Koch Gavra, and again, he proved from the Gemara Mavakama regarding the case of Evan Menachas L'Becheiko, where the Gemara says you get up, you didn't realize it was there, you're Chayav Ben Ezekin. So Rashi says he thinks it means this is Koach Adam, this is Maisa Adam, it's Kocho here. Therefore, he thinks that Meikar, then he thinks really Shechita should be good too. He then notes that he's going to be Machmir because he's seen that the Tosfos don't agree with him, so we should be Machmir for that Shechita. But fundamentally, he believes that that is considered to be Kocho Kugufo. The Rush says, no, that's not Koch Gavra, if what we're discussing is a case where it was Nofel Shelo B'Chavana. Right? If it falls without your awareness of its falling, so then that's not going to be considered Koch Gavra. However, it's quite clear in the Rush that if you let it fall intentionally, so that will be considered Koch Gavra. That is viewed as your Maisa. So with regard to our Gemara, the Chiyuv Ritzicha of Bitka D'Mayim B'Koch Rishon, so according to both the Rush and the Rashba, it seems that as far as the fact that the Mayim in our case is Nofel Me'atzmam, that the water here, it falls on its own by force of gravity rather than by being propelled by the person's force, the fact that this could be considered chitzav, that it could be viewed as if it were thrown by you, in which case we would say, kocha kagufo, so that's not all that much of a chiddush. Even the Rush, and I should note the tour, who think that a davar hanofa me'atzmo is not considered to be chitzav when it falls shelo b'chavana, even they agree that it's chitzav, it is kocho, if the person releases it intentionally. And our Gemara is clearly discussing someone who released the water intentionally. So as far as the bare fact of the nefila me'atzmam is concerned, the fact that the water falls here on its own, that this could be considered kocha gufo is not particularly novel.
Yeah. You explained last time the difference between this, meaning, what would they say the difference is between this case and Evan Menachas L'Chaika?
Who? Oh, you mean all those who disagree with the Rush? Who disagree with the Rush, rather?
Yeah.
I think I did mention it last time, we're going to discuss it again.
Okay.
The Rush does not relate to that case. But Ra'ah does, and so does the Mi'iri, which we'll get to tonight, they do relate to the case why they rejected. It could, in theory, be one of two things. It could either be that the areas of halacha that we're discussing are different, or it could be that the cases are different. We'll see that the Rishonim that they're related to the Rashi's Raya pretty much uniformly think that the tchumim are different, the areas of halacha. You can't learn shechita from Adam Mazik. But we'll get to that. Okay. We then noted, however, that the Tua Shor had a different understanding. Although the Rush, the Tour, and the Shulchan Aruch in Yerdeya Simen Gimel are explicit that a Sakin Hanofel Me'atzmo is not considered Koch Gavra and is therefore an invalid Shechita only if it was Nofel Shelo B'Chavana, but that if it were released B'Chavana, that would be Koch Gavra and the Shechita would be Kshera, So the Tuashor claims that the Rashba, ironically, disagreed. He claims that when the Rashba concludes that halacha l'maisa, we should be machmir and consider the nefila me'atzma an invalid shechita, because, after all, the Tosos were machmir about this, when the Rashba says that, he is referring to all cases of nefila me'atzma, even cases where you intentionally, b'chavana, release the sakya. Okay, so his interpretation of the Rashba is certainly open to question, but at the very least, this is his opinion, it's Tuashor's opinion. So according to him, if a person even intentionally releases an object, which then falls by force of gravity alone, Bevar Hanopo Me'atzmo is not considered to be moving Miklach Gavra. It's not considered to be defined as Chitzav as Kocha. So if that's the case, so then our Gemara becomes not only novel, but difficult. Why are you Chayav Yeretzicha for this case of Bitka Demai Bekoch Rishon, of Asaris Monea, if a Bevar Hanopo Me'atzmo isn't Koch Adam? And one cannot respond by being mechalik here between Shechita and Ritzicha, given the Gemara Nechulin, which we'll come back to in a moment. So how then do we understand this Gemara according to the Tuashor? So the Tuashor himself happens to ask this question. How is it true, according to me, that Dabar Nochol Me'atzmo, even Mechavana, is not considered to be Koch Gavra? So how is it that the Gemara says about Bit Gemayim Koch Rishon that it is Koch Gavra, that it's considered to be Chayv Ritzicha, it's considered to be a good Shechita? And his answer, we noted, is extremely counterintuitive. He argues that Nefila Me'atzmo is considered to be Koch Gavra only when it allows the object to fall on its own. Is you're removing an external impediment. That's the case of Asaris Menea, that's the case of Bitka Demaya. However, he says that when you unclench your hand, release from your grip an object, so basically, he says, what you're doing there is simply removing yourself. You're erasing yourself from the picture. So we don't view you in that case as contributing positively to its release, to its falling on its own. You're simply getting out of the way and allowing it to resume the status quo ante. So in that case, where all you're doing is removing yourself from the picture, we don't view that nefila me'atzmo as if you had propelled it forward, as if you had thrown it. Whereas where you contribute something positive by removing some other external thing which was impeding its progress, so then in that case, he's mechadesh, based on our Gemara, you do. So clearly, according to the Tuashor, we have a very significant chiddush in our Gemara. This is considered, in fact, to be geiri, despite the fact that when you release something from your hand, it is not considered to be geiri. But, as I noted, according to the Rishonim, actually, according to the Rush and the Rashba themselves, it's pretty clear that when you simply unclench your grasp and allow something to fall out, b'chavana, that's considered to be kofo kukufo. So, as far as this element of the case of b'demai is concerned, the fact that the mayim is nof me'elehem me'atzmam, there's not too much of a chiddush involved. However, we noted that in addition to the fact that the mayim here is nofle me'elehem, there is another element of the case here in the Gemara, which is similar to the, let's say, the standard paradigmatic case of zrikas chetz, which could have caused us to say that this case of bitkid mayim b'koch rishon of asaris menea is not considered to be geirei, even if we assume the position of the Rush and the Rashba and the Rishonim in general, that nefila me'atzma itself, that unclenching one's hand, let's say, and allowing an object to fall, if it's unintentionally, is considered to be kocho, is considered to be geirei. Because that case of unclenching, the case of sucking a nofil me'atzmo, there you've acted upon the chepetz, the object in question. You've done a direct act of releasing that object. But in our Gemara, what you have is not directly releasing the mayim. The act that you've done is not upon the mayim per se. It's rather upon the kli which is containing the mayim, or the kli which is impeding the mayim. So you could have said that this case is not similar so much to the case of unclenching one's hand, allowing something to fall, but rather to a case of hatayas chavis, of tipping over a barrel of water, or tipping over something which is containing a knife, and having the knife fall out on its own as a result of that. And one could have said that even if we think that bechavana, at the very least, if you unclench your fist and allow it to fall, that that's considered to be kocha kugufo, that's considered to be kocha gavra, it doesn't necessarily follow that you would have said the same thing in a case where you're, let's say, matachavis. In a case where you act upon a kli which was containing the chepetz in a way that whatever was inside is able to fall out, we wouldn't necessarily know that that case is considered to be kocho kugufo. So our Gemara, at the very least, has that element, which really is something we didn't necessarily know before, again, even according to the Rashba and the Rush. And then finally, when you're talking about Hasar Samanea, so you have an additional element, which is that you could have said, well, in the case of Hatayis Chavis, at least taking the Mayim from a position where it's not at all on track to be going anywhere, and I am sort of revolutionizing its position, for now it can flow freely. So in that sense, you could say I'm viewed as sort of initiating its movement, its ability to move. But in the case of just removing impediment, you're merely allowing it to resume what it's already sort of on track to do. that's another reason to have thought that in this case of Asar Samanea, in fact, you don't have Kocha Gugufo. The Mayim is not viewed as if you threw it. So he said that there are two ways to understand the Maskana. You could have said that maybe the Maskana is an Echinami. All this is true. It isn't Kocha. It's not Kocha Gugufo. You wouldn't be Chayiv. Rather, the Chiv is based on Garmi. Because Garmi is Chayiv Ritzicha, and this qualifies this case of Bitka Demayi. But Kocha Rishon, at least, qualifies as Garmi. Alternatively, one could understand that what the Gemara is saying is that despite the fact that this object isn't being literally propelled by your force, it's simply falling as a result of gravity, and despite the fact that you're not even doing an act of directly releasing it, and despite the fact that you're really not even putting it in the position in the first place that it should be able to go forward, you're just simply removing something which was in its path, but despite all this, nonetheless, we actually do view this as kochcha. We view this as if you threw it, it's your maisa, it's your act. That is, in fact, Ramah. The Ramah says, the Kiddush Gemara is, that it is, in fact, considered to be kochcha. And the way that the Ramah explains that is that anytime you have something which is azil, machmas, masav, even though it's not your force propelling it, and even though you perhaps have these other chidushim as well, not just like you're letting something go, but you're only acting upon something else which allows it to go, but nonetheless, as long as machmas masav ka'azli, so that's considered to be kochuk. Okay, so that's the din in our Gemara. So we started looking into other contexts of halacha where you require or where there is a din of maisa adam. What is the status of this case, case comparable to this, in those contexts? So we started in particular with shechita, where the Gemara itself raises the question. The Gemara says that if you have a shechita b'muchani, you have some sort of contraption that you do shechita with, so the Gemara, one Gemara says it's good, another Tosefta, I believe, but Brisa says it's no good, so this is a contradiction, obviously. So the Gemara suggests two different answers. The first was, here we're talking about sarma de pachra, which is a hand wheel, where I rotate it by hand. I take the rungs, maybe rungs is the right word for it, right? The rungs, and I rotate it that way. So that's a good shechita. That's called gavra. Why? Because that's a kli. I'm simply using the kli, the sarma de pachra, as it's like an extended handle, but it happens to give me more leverage. But that's just a regular kli, and that's simply an act of shechita mikol gavra. That's fine. Ha, when it says shechita mochani does not work, that's referring to the case of sarma de maya, a water wheel, right? Where, as Rashi explains, basically I unload the water, I poke a hole in whatever was impeding the water, or I just remove whatever is impeding the water and allow it to go down a channel, which then has the wheel rotate. So in that case, the shechita is no good. In that case, it's grown ba'alma, and you therefore have a chisaron of the zavakta v'achata, mashtav zavayachta ochel. It's grown ba'alma. So that's the first lishon on the Gemara. Then you have the lishon basra, and here's what we left out with. The lishon basra says, no, I'll give you a different answer. Ha, besarn de maya. Both of them are talking about water wheels. But we're discussing two different cases. One is honey mid bekoch rishon. When is it that it's a geshchita ksheira bekoch rishon? And when is it that it's a geshchita psula bekoch sheni? And then the Gemara cites, after all, this is in accordance with the din of Rapapa and the Gemara's opinion on Esrafin. Hai man dekadu lechavre, vashkulai bitka de maya, that is chayav bekoch rishon, bekoch sheni is putter. So bekoch rishon, you're chayav. Therefore, likewise, in that case, in comparable case in shechita, it'll be koch gavra, and in the case of koch sheni b'sarn demaya, it'll be a shechita psula, just like one was putter for reticha midin gram ba. So what we left off with was the question, what is machlokas here? Because it seems like the Elisha Kama did not believe that this was a good answer. Or not. I mean, you could say, well, maybe in theory, actually, that was also a good answer. The Elisha Kama was just saying, I'm trying to, without getting into different kochos, let's just find different contraptions where you don't have to distinguish between kochos. That already assumes something which Rashi thought was true, and which Nosei Kelim Shulchan Aruch also think is true, although the Prima Gadim first thought it was something that the Gemara itself said, and then realized that the Gemara itself was not Mephorish this way. It was sure assumed it, and then the Prima Gadim points out that Rashi also did, that Sarn de Pachra is good b'kochshen. You could have said that that's not true, but it's only ever going to be good in Sarn de Pachra as long as your hand is still rotating the wheel. But if you assume that isn't true, so then you could say, well, maybe the Gemara doesn't actually disagree. The Lishon Kama didn't disagree. It was just trying to find a case where you could just not distinguish between Koch Rishon and Koch Sheni. So Shechita B'Sarn de Pachra is good regardless, and Shechita B'Sarn de Maya, okay, so that's there are cases where that's not good. So that's what we're referring to. But more likely, I think, the first Lishon Kama just simply did not agree. The Lishon Kama thought that the Shechita B'Sarn de Maya, even the Koch Rishon, is not a good Shechita. And the question becomes, well, how do we understand that? After all, you're chayav v'rezicha in such a case, so it's a ma'aseh adam. If that's the case, so then why shouldn't it be kasher for shechita? Right? If it's true that when I rotate it with my hand, the rotate the wheel of my hand, that's a good shechita. It's shechita b'koach gavra. And we also think that this mayim, when I release the water, so that's going b'koach gavra, and we say koach gufo, so all this should add up to saying it's good shechita. So why not? Because that's what we left off with. So I think here there are three possible answers, and I'll mention two, and the third I'll come back to later. The first is perhaps the Lishna Kama subscribed to two propositions. First of all, the basis of the Chiyuv is not what the Rama says. The basis of the Chiyuv, in the case of Itka Demaya, is not that, despite the fact it's an Ova Me'ela, despite the fact that you're simply removing an impediment, this is Kocho. No, the reason you're Chayiv in this case, in Ritzicha, is Midin Garmi. Right? Despite the fact that this isn't Kocho, and it therefore isn't considered to be a Maisa Hariga B'Yadayim, or a Maisa Hariga B'Kocho, which is Ke'en Maisa Hariga B'Yadayim, despite that, all you're doing is managing to allow this water to go forth, you're still going to be chayav because garmi is chayav yaratzicha. Right? Just like Mitzam saying, let's say, on this view, isn't maisa or kocho shalavim, but nonetheless it's chayav because it's garmi, and garmi is chayav yaratzicha. Let's say, take the rush or the rinidavit. So to this case, the case of bitka demaya, the kof rishon, that also is chayav yaratzicha, meaning garmi. But shchita is not chayav b'garmi. Whereas Ritzicha, you don't need a Maisa Riga B'Dayim because what's Mechayiv you is simply causing the loss of life, whether by Maisa Riga B'Dayim or even if it's a direct enough form of causation that'll also be Mechayiv you. So that's true for Ritzicha, but for Shechita you require Maisa Shechita, you require Maisa Adam. And therefore, it won't be good here. That's one possibility. Alternatively, and I think probably more likely, no, the Gemara never thought that the basis of the Chiyuv, B'Bitka D'Maya B'Kach Rishon in Ritzicha is Midin Garmi. It thought it's Midin Maisa. However, perhaps the Lishna Kama thought it's your Maisa, it's your Maisa Adam, only in Ritzicha. It's only considered Maisa Adam in Ritzicha, not in Shechita. Why? Perhaps the Lishna Kama thought that it's only considered your Maisa because you were charged with precluding such an eventuality. In other words, in a context where you had a responsibility to provide Shmira, to prevent you or your body from damaging, or something going forth from your body from damaging, so in that context, unloading water, in this case of removing the impediment, releasing water, is considered not grama ba'alma, but a direct act. Mashalama d'Rodome is the Rambam regarding Pshia, Pshia Kemazik. You guys familiar with this? Good. The Mishnah above Mitzia and above Menalf, and the same Mishnah repeated in Shavuos and Beis Amadeis, tells us that the din, speaking of several dinim, several contexts, and where there's a miyud of avadim sharos karkaos and ekdeshos, so one of them is that with respect to shomrim, shomar chinam min unishva, shomar sachar ein mishal. So Balei Tosfos and other shom, I'll mention in a second, assume that you aren't to be medayit here, that shomar chinam min unishva, shomar sachar ein mishalim, that shomar chinam could be mishalim. No. There's no tashlum, there's no shvuah. That's all the Mishnah is saying. There's a miyud of karkaos from anything having to do with the world of shmir. The Rambam, however, says otherwise. The Rambam Hilchos Perek Beis Hilcha Gimel. He says that nearly, I think he says nearly, that this din of Shomer Chinam in Nishma, Shomer Sachar in Shalim, it's Dafka. The reason is that Shomer Chinam for Pshia, in other words, not just Shomer Chinam, but anytime you have Pshia, you are Chayav Karkaos. Why? Because, the Rambam says, where do we find that there's a distinction between Karkaos and Metatlin with respect to Tashlumei Shmira? But with regard to Mazik, with Din and Zikin, there's no chilek between Karkaos and Metalta. There's no tour if I go ahead and I flood your property. I'm not putter for that. Of course, if I had been Nizakim Karko as well. And when it comes to Pshia, the Ram says, Pshia is Mazik. Pshia is Chayiv Din Mazik, and therefore, you're going to be Chayiv for Pshia on Karkaos because it's Midin Mazik, and Mazik, you're Chayiv be Karkaos. So the Ravid, like Tosolus, did not agree with this. The Ravid Alatar says that's not true. Pshia is not Mazik, and he says, and I have a Raya for you. Or a pretty good raya. He says, after all, it's machlokes of the sugya nasho, and we paskin, that shia b'baylim is pater, right? You have a p'tur of bel avimo. So machlokes in the gemara in nasho, whether or not this p'tur applies to pshia as well, or only to the other chiyuvei shmira. But we paskin, I believe, that even for pshia, bel avimo, you're going to be pater. So the rabbi says, if pshia is kimazik, so then hayitachen, you'd be pater? Is it true that if I go ahead and I damage your property, and we have the conditions of Bel Avimo, that'd be Pater? Obviously not. So therefore, it's clear Pshia is not Kemazik. That's a very good question. So Rav Chaim and really the Shach before him answered as follows, that the Rambam adopts two premises. First of all, in terms of the character of the respective Turim, the Rambam is mechalik between the Ptur for Karkos and the Ptur of Belavimo. When it comes to Belavimo, so there's Hafkas Shem Shomer. There's Bechal no category, no chalos chiyuv shmira. I believe the Bechor Shor in Spiritual Torah defines as Ein Adam Nasa Adon Ve'Evid Lat Biyachar, or something like that. That a person is simply not defined as a Shomer in that case. There's no chalos anything. You're simply not charged with responsibility of shmira when it comes to Belavimo. But when it comes to Karkos, they say, the Rambam believes, you are a Shomer. There is a Shem Shomer, the way I would put it. There is a chalos chiyuv lishmor, the karkos. It's just that there's no chiyuv tashlumin. The Torah simply patters you from tashlumin, from shvua. So that's first of all. Second of all, and most significant for us, what they say is that the posheya, according to the Rambam, is mazik. But only in the context of shmira. Only where you have a Shem Shomer, only where you have a chiyuv and responsibility to guard and preserve the item. So if you have a chiyuv and responsibility to guard and preserve the item, so then, if it damages as a result of your negligence, so that's not just considered to be a derelict shmira, chiyuv midin shmira, that's actually considered to be mazik. You're considered to have damaged it. The responsibility thrust upon you to preserve it casts your subsequent negligence in a totally different light. Now we view it as actively damaging, as an act of damage. So that's the explanation for the Rambam. The Rambam thinks poshe is kemazik, but only if there's a shem shomer, and he believes that belavimo versus karkos, there's a chiluk. Belavimo, you have no shem shomer, no chalos chiv shmira. Karkos, you do, and therefore poshe kemazik. That's with respect to that issue. So back to our question. So we might say as follows. Look, in Ezekin, and perhaps in Tzicha 2, we find that a person is charged with guarding himself, guarding his person from damaging. Right? The Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Dalad, says, and the Gemara in Bava Kama says it several times after that, that Adam Shmiras Gufo Alav, person has a responsibility to watch over his person to ensure that it doesn't damage. And obviously, inasmuch as Koch Gufo means that you're charged also with preventing damage, not just by your physical person, but also something which is projected by you, Ayde Koch. So perhaps, coming back to our topic now about Hasaras HaMoneah, so perhaps Lashon HaKama held as follows. That regarding Hasaras HaMoneah, it's specifically in the context of damaging and killing, where you have a responsibility to guard yourself from such things, to ensure that these sort of things don't happen. So if you do an act where Machmas Ma'asav Ka'azli, and it goes ahead and damages, so that's not just what otherwise would be viewed as Grama Ba'alma, that's actually defined as a Ma'asav Biyadayim. That's a Ma'asav Nezek, it's a Ma'asav Reticha Biyadayim. Right, in the context where you're charged with precluding damage upon other people and other things, so in that context, if you do an act such as this, where the Miami resumes based on your act, so that's considered as if you projected it forward. That's attributed to you as your act. However, Shechita, so there is no such Shmira, there's no such context. You're not charged with responsibility to prevent a knife from doing Shechita. Obviously not. In fact, you likely wanted the Shechita to be done. So given that there is no requirement to prevent this totza'a, so in that context, it's not going to be defined as ma'asav. It's not a ma'asav. It's karma ba'alma. I think you find this precise idea in the Me'iri in a different context, a different case of something which is nofel me'ilav. And that is the case of the Rashba. The Rashba who held again that nafla mi'yado, shalom b'chavana even, is considered to be koach gabra, considered to be kocho. So he brought a raya from the Gemara Bakama, right? The Gemara Bakama says that Evin Menachzal Bechayka Vohikirba, so you're chayav benezek, and you'd be chayav begalos also, if not for the fact that it was honest. But we view this as it's your act. So the Rashi says, you see, it's a ma'asav. So we saw the Ra'ah rejected this raya based on what? He said, how can you try to prove from Nezikin to Shechita? Nezikin, what? What's true? You're chayav garmi. This is the Ra'ah that we sought to be medayik from, that maybe you have a chayav garmi in other contexts, because the Gemara doesn't just mention Nezik, it also mentions Shemi Dalvarim and other things. So the Ra'ah thought you couldn't reject, that there was no Raya, because if they're all in Nezikin, you'd be chayav garmi. So who says that this is a Maisa'ad? But the Miri, in rejecting and rebutting the Raya, has a different line. It says something different. He says, "Taisakin mecheka obiyado v'nafla meleha nirin hadvarim she'ein ze nikra koch adam linyan shechita v'av alpi she'linyan nezikin chayav kemo she'izbar v'sheini shabav kama." The Gemara in Chav Vav and Beis. "Bazu enetam ela shehu chayav lishmor atzmo b'chol tzad shelo yehezek yotzei mitach ziyado." Cholin yin hezek on his karatzum b'shogeg yimezek. Kol shehizek shalom b'shias muzak. That's his explanation. So he doesn't mention the mag grama here, garmi. But he says, why is it that you're chayiv in that case, in the case of Navla Miyado in Baba Kama, even Shal B'Chavana? Because you have a chiyuv lishmor esatmacha, that there should be no, that there should be no damage emanating from you or from your person or from projectiles. So in that context, yes, we'll say that that's a maisa, that's your, considered your maisa. But in shechita, the implicit point, there's no chiyuv lishmor atzmacha bechot sad shelo yehei asakin yotzei mitachas yadcha v'yishcha. So in that context, there's no mice. Yeah?
So just, I'm a little confused about, so according to like this approach, mm-hmm. what are the cases of like grama in Ritzif and Azif? Like why don't we just say, well, in every case of grama, the guy was charged to make sure that damage didn't emanate from him, and therefore it's considered mice.
So I mean, just go through the cases of grama. Let's say if I put.
So what makes one?
It's, no, this is not the same.
We don't say, oh, he should have guarded himself from causing that damage. Whereas in these cases of Bidka Demayar, Evan Mudafas Lobachika, we don't say that.
Well, that's a good question, but the Miri is not giving you a criterion by which he's defined one way or the other. He's not doing that. He's just saying this case is only in context. Now, if you ask, well, what cases would be grama? So, I mean, here we're discussing something which is sort of on the scene, whether or not we view this as kochacha. Is being propelled by the person. But when it comes to grama, first of all, if you say bar yizekas, then you already understand. In this case, pretty clearly, is bar yizekas.
Right.
But let's take the case of shovach. Let's say I move the ladder, and now the squirrel jumps into the other person's shush. So in that case, I'm not projecting it forward. If it were garmi, it would be timing in garmi, but it's not, it's grama. According to Rav Hashanah, that's true. Right? Again, according to Rabban, and possibly Rashi, if we're chayiv in garmi, it means that this case is chayiv. But Rav Hashanah thinks that we don't say that. So the point is, none of this is relevant for that. I mean, there you're not discussing chiyuv midin kochcha. Here, what the Miri is saying is, we view this as your koch, as kochcha guva. But only because you had a responsibility to prevent something like this from happening. Where you had a responsibility to prevent something from happening, but it's in no plausible way to be viewed as kochcha, the Miri wouldn't say it. Or let's say, take a case of putting the poison in front of the behemoth. Right, so in that case, again, you shouldn't have done that, obviously. But it can always be viewed as your maisa nezek, unless it's mitzad garmi. If it's just mitzad kochcha, we're not going to say that it's viewed as your act. So in other words, the thing has to do with the case that we're talking about, nefila me'elav. It's a sort of straddling line, whether or not we view this as kochcha guvo. Those cases, according to this meiri, I think, can be viewed as kochcha in the context where you have a chiyuv lishmor, so that'll be viewed as if you projected it forward. But that's all it means. So that doesn't have any clear relevance to cases where we're not talking about nefilu me'elav and whether or not we view it as kochcha. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I think there's a third possibility, which I'm going to come back. Okay, so what does the Lishna Basra and Kulin say? And it's the Maskana also. So the Lishna Basra has to negate both of these potential arguments for the chiluk between Shechita and Ritzicha. Right? So as regards the first argument, namely the chiluk based on the idea that the Hasaras Menei is merely Garmi, right? So, here the simplest thing to say is that the Shabbat holds that Asaras Menei is not simply Garmi. It's Kocho Masav. And perhaps Ritzicha requires that, otherwise it would have been Pater. Regardless, the point is that as far as this is concerned, no, we view it as Deri Tideh. So it's not just Garmi, it's actually Kocho. And therefore, if Sarna de Pacha works, so this is exactly equivalent. Right? If instead of the hand rotating it, you have a projectile that you released through the method of Hasaras Menei, so that's exactly the same thing because you hold Kocho Gufo, and therefore you want to be Chayav. The reason you're Chayav in Ritzicha is because it's Maisa Mamish, and therefore Shechita you're also going to have. I think the alternative, which is by far less likely, is that the Lishna Basra holds that Garmi works for Shechita as well. It's true, it's only is Garmi, it's not a Maisa Adam, it's not a Koach Adam, but Garmi is relevant, is a Koach Adam for Shechita too. Is considering me Maisa Adam for Shechita as well. Probably the simplest way to say this, the most plausible way to say it, if you're going to say it at all, is that Garmi is Chayav Ritzicha because Bechotar Kula, Garmi is Kamaisa. And if that's true, then it's going to be true for Shechita too, as well. Right? In other words, maybe the Lishna Basra is saying, you think that Garmi is Chayav Ritzicha because Ritzicha doesn't require Maisa Adam. It's not true. Garmi is Chayav Ritzicha because Garmi, Lamanda Adan, Dina Garmi, has a Dina Maisa Bechotar Kula. Shabbos probably, and also B'Shechita. Alternatively, the Lishon Abasa holds, again, this is how the Lishon Abasa respond to the point regarding Garmi, saying that Garmi works for Shechita. Lishon Abasa can say that, you're right, Garmi isn't a Maisa, but your assumption that Shechita requires a Maisa isn't true. Shechita only requires that the thing be Zavuach as a result of your initiative. It doesn't have to be that you actually did a Maisa Shechita. Zvicha requires simply that the thing be Zavuach, and it's attributable to you. And therefore, even though Garmi is not Kemaisa, you're chayv b'tzicha, and you're also going to be chayv b'shchita. That, I think, is probably the least likely of all. And I'll just note now that this argument, by kach rishon is chayv b'tzicha and kasher shchita, because it qualifies as garmi, is possible only if you assume that kach sheni is not garmi. Right? And therefore, only if you assume, in Wukamekis, that kach sheni, like rishonim, tassos mevukama, as opposed to many other rishonim, that kach sheni is actually not chayv b'tzicha. But either way, this, I think, is much less likely. I just think it's less like that this whole thing works for me than Garmi, and that's the basis for why for the Lishon Basra. More likely, Lishon Basra holds that this is Midin Kocho Masav, and therefore it works even for Shmira. Now, regarding the second argument, that its definition as a mice is based on Shmira, the Lishon Basra simply rejects that. Right? And the Lishon Basra thinks that that isn't the case, that perhaps the Meiri is right, that's true about Nafla Miyado, Shalom B'Chavana. Nafla Miyado, Shalom B'Chavana, that's only considered to be Kocho or Masa because it's in defiance to Shmira. But this, particularly Bechavana, where you remove the impediment Bechavana, so that's just Masa, that's Kocho, classic Kocho. And therefore, that's Kocho in Shchita as well. Okay? Alright. So now I want to broaden our analysis beyond these two cases, which the Gemara explicitly mentions, namely Shchita and Ritzicha, to other contexts where we have the din of Masa Adam. In particular, Netias Adani. I want to examine the din of Pitka Demai B'Koch Rishon in the context of Netilas Adai. And here, we come upon some puzzling things. First, Shita Rabbi Yossi, and in particular Shita Rabbi Yossi regarding Hatayis Chavis. Right, so we saw that the Mishnah Yedayim, as we saw several years ago, the Mishnah says that the Tanakama holds that a Kof Sheir Lital Yedayim, Chayr Shad Katan, and even Kof, and even if you're Mata Chavis Al Tzida. The Mishnah then reports that Rabbi Yossi is cholik b'shnei elu, meaning kof and matachavis al tzida. So Rabbi Yossi apostles, and all the Rishonim explain, that the reason for Rabbi Yossi is that he thinks you require koch gavra, and he thinks that this case of matachavis al tzida is not koch gavra. Why? Because the mayim in this case is simply leaving of its own accord. You're merely pushing over the chavis, but the mayim is being yotze mela. That's not mikoch gavra, and it needs, according to Rabbi Yossi, to come upon your hands as a result of an act of pouring. So this obviously presents us with the difficulty. This seems quite inconsistent with what we find regarding Pitka Demaya in Sanhedrin and in Chulin. Right? Our Gemara indicates that Asaras Monea is considered to be Geri Didei. It's your act, it's your chetz, at least for Koach Rishon. Therefore, you're Chai Beretzicha, therefore, it's a Shechita Kshera, again, Koach Rishon. The principle being, as the Ramah says, that Kevin Demachmas Maisa Didei Ka'azli Kekocho Dami. Right? Inasmuch as your act unleashed it, so that's considered to be kocha, it's geri didei. If that's true, so l'chora regarding hatayis chavis, certainly no less than that, right? And as we indicated the last sabur, and I mentioned at the beginning of this one, you can make a pretty good argument that it's even more. There's even more reason to assume that it's geri didei here. We have a kind of kol chomer. If we consider something to be geri didei, because machmas ma'asa didei ka'azli, even where that ma'asa didei was merely removing an impediment, so l'chora, kavachomer, where the ma'aseh didei was an act like tipping the barrel over, right? Where the act doesn't merely remove the impediment to allowing it to go ahead on its own, but rather it transforms the context. It was in a context in which it was simply stationary. It wasn't set on the course of progressing. It was comfortably stationary, and you revolutionized its position so that now it's moving on its own, right? By being matel chavis, you've now introduced it to the outside world. That's something which, l'chora, you should say kavachomer. If even just simply removing an impediment, it's considered to be kocha, given that it's ma'aseh didei ka'azli, so then kavachomer with respect to tipping over the barrel. So, what's going on here? Right, does everybody get the question? So, some, in fact, assume that we have it wrong. Rabbi Yossi is, in fact, machshir in the case of matachavis altida, at least with kocha risha. And here we find three variations supporting this conclusion, this assumption. The first is the Ra'an, the Bedek Abayis. I think the lone view of the Rishon, the Rashi basically ridiculed him for saying this. But the Ra'an suggests, it's clear that he assumed, at first, just as he assumed his Zavar Pasha, that the Rabbi Yossi, who's posel, B'Shnei Elu, doesn't refer to Matachav Esaltidah. refers to Kof, yes, but also the case prior, the Kershut of the Katan. He doesn't seem to be aware that this is sort of a Shitas Yachid. He doesn't say, you know, I know everybody else says this, but in my opinion, he just says it. He just assumes that these are the two cases that Riosi posts all the respect to. Then later on, he comes to the conclusion, you know what, maybe the two cases aren't actually Kof and Kershut of the Katan, it's Kof and Chavis. He doesn't even sound like he's concluding against his initial thought. He's just saying it's possible. I want to point out maybe what he's actually arguing about is not Matakavis. This is the original way he says it is. This is the Ra in the Perek HaBayis, Bayis Vav Shar Dalet. Anybody actually get to see it?
Is this the same one as the first Ra?
No, that was the end of Bayis Aleph. That's where the Rashba was discussing Shchita. This is where he's discussing Tias Zayin. He says... So he says the custom of mechaber, meaning the Rashba in the Tosvayis, b'tayu ibinim koch gavra, l'tanakama lo binim koch gavra, b'cheshu the katan b'kof kiman d'lasenu ninu, v'rabiosi d'palik l'meir binim koch gavra. Clearly, he thought that the two cases which they are arguing about are the cases of kof and cheshu the katan. In other words, that's his explanation of these machlokes, is that the principle of that argument here is whether or not you need koach ben das. And he repeats it again later on. Then he says, "Hachi mashu tanakama chershot v'katan v'kof." Rabbi Yosi palig behani, dehani kama de lasen hudami. Lo chashu v'koach kli yad dasim koach ben das. V'yashrat b'hachi sagi de Rabbi Yosi v'lo be'kavana. But meniach chavis v'mekav moder Rabbi Yosi. He actually has a line here which says, "Cholde'kein demate chavis al tzida." That if Rabbi Yosi is modeb regard to flipping over the barrel while you're holding it, a mirkav or it's, while it's in between your knees, so kolshekin. That is tamuah mod. Either way, it's clear he thought this initial interpretation of the Ra was Rabbi Yosi agrees regarding mata chavis al tzida. The only question is whether or not the koach gavra needs to be mikoch ben das or not. So that's the Ra. Nobody else held that, and that's what Rashba there points out. He says, "Well, the Rabbi Yosi plug mata es achavis al tzida sheyachz ben ashlan the plug of Rabbi Yosi upasil v'hu shekatzed Rabbi Yosi mode benosi es achavis ben merkav koshkei mata es achavis al tzida kosei tayuyosu v'ina choshes advar klal." Very hurry. He's just not paying attention to what he's saying. But the Ra himself, I should just note, the Ra himself then comes back to the possibility that perhaps he really is halot shichle the kushu v'chemat zachavis and el eshar to be a heaply gear of Yosef ubekov v'lo becher shav tekatan the mikomakam adam ninim. So that's what all the other Rishonim held. But either way, the Ra himself says eshar, but his initial assumption, at least for sure, perhaps even maskan, is really what he believes that Rabbi Yosef is posel not in the case of matachavis. Matachavis, we agree, that's fine, that's koch gar. Rather, he's posel in the case of some other cases, Kof and Chesh of the Gan. That's the Ra. Again, most of the don't assume that. He's arguing about Mata Chavis, the Chavis case. But then you have several Nosei Kelim, in particular Magen Avraham and others following him, and I think there are some preceding him too. This is in Sim Kuf Nun Tes, Sif Katan Chav Gimel. Reinterpret the case of Mata Chavis Al Tzida. What they say is that the case of Atayos Chavis, even Rabbi Yossi's Modeh, the case where there's a disagreement, where Biosi disagrees, is the case of a chavis muta me'eleha, o me'atzma. Clearly, in order to say this, you have to be assuming what I mentioned to you was Machlok Zishonim about the sheet of the Tanakama. The Tanakama does not require koch gavra b'cha, or koch nosi. So that even if you have a barrel that is muta me'eleha, if it's somehow already tilted by the wind, so Tanakama is machshir, that's the case where Biosi disagrees. But if it's chavis, he agrees. Now, the reason Magen Avraham says this, he doesn't even quote our sugya. I'll tell you who does in a second. But the reason he says it is he's trying to explain what seems to be an inconsistency in the Mechaber. The Mechaber in Simen Kuf Nun Tes in Siv Yud Beis regarding Kof quotes both Deos and Rishonim. He ignores the Rashba basically. That's not entirely true. He quotes it once. The case that you don't need Koch Karva B'chal, you can dip your hands in it. He says Ashas Chag Gamor, you can maybe do it and you shouldn't make a bracha again. You've already made a bracha. But basically, he goes with the two opinions, but he himself leans towards the Rambam, who holds that Kof is kasher, but he notes there are two shitos in Rishon. Right? This is in Siv Yud Beis. He says, "In Makof, nosi in mayin leidayim, yesh posim, v'yesh machshirim, v'nirim divrayim." Okay. Right? So in other words, he's noting that there are people like Rav Rishonim, actually, Pasul like Rav Yosi, who Pasul. I happen to think that it's kasher like the Rambam, but Nonetheless, I'm letting you know. But when it comes to the case of Hita Chavis Al Tzida, which is Sif Yud, so the Mechaber simply passes Yotze, and he doesn't know any dissenting opinion. He says, Im Hita Chavis Mleya Mayim Behalach V'yashavlo, the Chavis Shofechis Mayim Kol Yom Machas V'yashav, but nothing at the minute of Asal and Netila. So how is it, the Magid of Rami asks, how is it if the Mechaber is considering, is noting that there is another opinion in Rishonim, in fact, Rov Rishonim, who passes like Rabbi Yossi, when it comes to Kof, so why doesn't he mention it in this case of Mata Chavis Al Tzida? So the simplest answer to that is probably the Prisha's answer. The Prisha Alatar in the, I forgot what Sekhana was, but in the tour, so he says that these are two entirely unconnected machloksos here between Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. One question is a question of whether or not you need Koach Gavra or Koach Nosi. Rabbi Yossi holds you need Koach Gavra, you need to be another. Tanakama holds you need, again, this is according to the Rambam's interpretation of Tanakama, and one interpretation of the Rosh as well, you need koach nosim, but labdafka koach adam. Therefore, kof is okay. Then there's this entirely separate question, which is whether hatayas chavis constitutes an act of nesina of shvicha or not. Is the water that leaves the chavis as a result of shvicha of hatayas chavis, is that considered to be koach gabra or koach nosim? And if the nosim is a person, so then it's a koach gabra. So Rabbi Yossi held that it didn't, and the Tanakhama held that it does constitute koach gabra. So the Mechaber simply felt as follows, that regarding the first issue, he leaned towards the Tanakhama, but he acknowledged and he took heed of Rabbi Yossi. But when it came to the entirely unconnected separate issue of the question of Hatayas Chavis, so there he decided definitively in favor of Tanakhama de Ryotze. And now even here, I should note, even here, I think it was the Taz maybe? Or maybe the Magen Avraham even. No, I think it was the Taz. He said that even here, Rabbi Yossi is evident, because the Mechaber only says that you do this also in the Tegula. It doesn't say that you can be no till you die in this way. So it's evident that it's only been the evident. And the reason it's only been the evident is because he still has in the back of his mind these are Shonim who passing like Rabbi Yossi. But nonetheless, the way the preacher answers is, nonetheless, he didn't feel that with regard to this issue that we had to be Choshesh for Shiz Rabbi Yossi. It's totally separate, unconnected machlokas. That's not the answer the Magen Avraham gives. The Magen Avraham gives a different answer, and his answer is that even Rabbi Yossi, in fact, agrees with Mata Chavis. He only disagrees regarding Chavis Muta Al Tzeda. He attempts to be Medayik this from a Rush. The Rush has one line where he says Muta instead of Mata Chavis Al Tzeda. He says, but Chavis Muta, they're arguing about Chavis Muta. So the Magen Avraham is trying to be Medayik from that and from the Tur. The Tur also says Chavis Muta that they're arguing about, but it's clear as all the other portion explained, the Grad and the Prisha, that that's only Lafuke, that's only because the ratio, the Seba there is a different case of Muta, where even that is good. So it's not to contrast with Hatayas Chavis, in that Hatayas Chavis ever, Rabbi Yossi agrees is good, the Tur passing like Rabbi Yossi. So it's not that Muta Mele is possible, but Mata Chavis Al Tzeda is okay for the Tur and for the Rush, who passing like Rabbi Yossi. No, that's actually no good, but they're only saying Muta for a different reason. Either way, that's Magen Avraham's point, belief that in fact the case that they're arguing about is Chavis Muta, not Mata Chavis Al Tzeda. Mata Chavis Al Tzeda is good. And in fact, the Prima Gadim brings a Raya that this must be true. What is Raya? This is Prima Gadim in Heshal Avram, Sifkat and Chav Gimel. His Raya is, must be this way. After all, anybody want to venture a guess?
Because I have a coffee.
Oh, yeah. So it's actually Sifkat Chav Aleph in the Heshal Avram. I think in a different edition, Sifkat and Chav Gimel. So this is my edition from home. So it is in this edition, Sifkat and Chav Aleph. So he says, just a quick line. That's what he's saying. He's saying, now you can understand, what does he mean, Asi Shapir? Asi Shapir, how else could Rabbi Yossi have made any sense? We see no from Elez, but Koch Rishon is considered to be Koch Garba. So how is it that Hatayas Chavis isn't Koch Garba at all, at any stage? So that's the second variation of how we can come to the conclusion that Rabbi Yossi actually agrees about Mata Chavis Al Tzeda. And the third is something which I think the Ra'ah and the Bedek Abayis, when he comes to the conclusion, or when he considers the possibility that Rabbi Yossi actually disagrees that the Shnei Elu is not Chesh Zekat and Kof, but rather Kof and Mata Chavis Al Tzeda, it sounds like he believes that this agreement concerns, and only concerns, the Kof Sheni, the Kuach Sheni. In other words, the Tanakhama is arguing that you can be Yossi with Mata Chavis Al Tzeda Kol Hayom, like the Psak, in fact, and we'll get back to that, of the Mechaber. And the Rabbi Yossi disagrees, but not about the Koach Rishon, the Kiloach Rishon of the Mata Chavis, but specifically about the Koach Sheni. But the pashtus is that no. Pashtus, simple reading of the Mishnah and the Rishonim, is that the case of Rabbi Yossi Pasuls is the case of Matacha V'Saltzida. And it's entirely, he doesn't think there's any way you can be Yotze with the water flowing out of the barrel. Okay, but what about our Sugya? So how do you answer that question? What happened to the Sugya here, Sugya and Chulin? So here, there are different directions that one could consider. The first is to say that maybe the din is different because, in fact, the cases are different. Now, this itself you could have said in one of two ways. In theory, had you not had the Ramah in the Rashi and Chulin, you could have said maybe the case of Bitka de Maya or Yechai of the Koch Rishon is specifically Miniach Chavis Bein Berkat. Then we would say, in that case, your Yotzei the Tchias Adayim, according to Yossi, right? That was the case where he was certainly Modeh. And that's a case also where Bikach Rishon, at least, Yubichai, Veritzicha, and the Shchido Bikash. So, this, I think, is in theory, I'm not claiming that the Rambam held this way, but if you actually look at the way the Rambam describes his case, it's not entirely evident that he thinks that we're talking about this Hasaras Moneya case. This is the Rambam in So he says, he sort of just has it flow upon him. So the Rambam does not describe what's going on there, but it's possible. Maybe he means you're holding a barrel, bein berkav, and you're simply having the water flow out from that. The contra rule will be good for Rabbi Yossi, or at least you can claim Rabbi Yossi would interpret the case like that. That's in theory. Alternatively, I don't think it's terribly likely. Alternatively, in terms of, again, distinguishing between the cases, perhaps Ashkel Alei Bibitka Demaya, the Bibitka Demaya case really is a case of Hasaras Moneya. But it's Davka Hasaras Moneya. And in fact, the din of Hatayas Chavis Al Tzida would be different. And not because there, even Koach Sheni's Chai Beretzicha, but rather because there, even Koach Rishon is Pater Beretzicha, at least a little bit of Riosi. In other words, Atayas Chavis Al Tzida is actually worse, is actually less kocho than Hasaras Hamaneya. And I believe this is clearly, explicitly an opinion in Rishonim. Not so much in the context of Ritzicha, that we'll have to extrapolate, but in the context of Netilas Adayim. In particular, the Rush and the Tur. Both say, both the Rush and the Tur, say that Atayas Chavis, again, Bepashus, it's a case of Mata Chavis Al Tzida, is just no good at all, Libid Ariosi. Right? Again, notwithstanding the Magen Avraham's rereading. And both say, however, that regarding another case, that it's at least Bekiluach Rishon perfectly okay, and that is the case of Barza, where you have a water cooler type thing, right? It's a big container of water with some sort of, something that blocks the water from leaving. You push the thing which is blocking aside to allow the water to come out, so that you can be Yotzei L'Netilas Adayim. This is not our sinks. Our sinks, the thing is not coming out. It's above and not below, and it also has, it'll probably be mevatel but shame kli. But just the barza was a case where there are holes where you remove the impediment to allow it to come out. So something like a water cooler. In that case, a barza, you can be yotze with the mayim hayotzim mimenu, as long as your machzir, your chozir masira b'chol shvicha shvicha. This is siftes in Shulchan Aruch. Again, quoting, this is from the Torah. Mim haisa barza b'negev ve'sira v'kibel ha'mayim al yadav chashu shaper kach gavra b'tzarech achzira l'asir b'chol shvicha l'shvicha. Okay. So the Mechaber passing this way, not terribly surprising. Maybe there's a different facet which is surprising. The Mechaber thinks you can be Yotze in two cases. Not terribly surprising because he thought you could be Yotze. He passed on the Tanakhama essentially. But the Torah and the Rush also quote this. And they're the ones who paskin like Rabbi Yossi. And again, notwithstanding the Magen Avraham, that means that Mata Chavis Al Tzida is no good. In other words, the Rush and the Tur both believe that whereas if I tip over a barrel, so I can't be Yotze with any of the water that flows out of it for Netilas Adayim, none of that is coming out Mikach Gavra. But if I have a barrel with a sinkhole or with a like a water cooler opener, so you can remove the impediment and have the water flow out and be Yotze, you just have to keep on doing it. So in other words, what emerges from them is that the case of Asaras Moneya is actually better than Hatayas Chavis. Asaras Moneya, you're Yotze L'Nitias Dayim B'Kiloch Rishon Olibid Yerviyosi, and Hatayas Chavis are not Yotze at all. How do we account for that? How do we explain that? We had said initially that L'Chora, it's even worse. So how do we explain this? So I think the way to explain this is as follows. At first, what they're assuming is that in order for a projectile to be considered yotzei or holech b'koach gavra, so we don't require that you actually be providing the force pushing it, propelling it forward, right? In other words, nefila based on its own force, based on gravity, can be considered koach gavra, but only if this happens as a result of a direct act upon that projectile. Only if it's a result of a direct act of releasing that item. And they think, second, that with respect to this, there's a difference between Hatayas Chavis, on the one hand, and Psichas Barza, or Asaras Maneya, on the other. Hatayas Chavis, Rabbi Yossi believes, that isn't Koach Gavra, because that is an act upon the Chavis, not the Mayan Shavasocha. What am I doing? This is an act of tipping over the barrel. Memela is a secondary result of that. It has to be that the water now is going to be flowing out. But when it comes to Barza, when it comes to the water cooler with the opening, with the hole, with the, what's the word? Faucet?
Spigot.
Spigot. There you go. With the water cooler with the spigot, excellent. That's exactly the word. So when it comes to that, so that is an act upon the mind. That is an act of releasing the mind. The spigot is something which is designed to allow for the release of the water. Right? So that's not primarily an act upon the chavis. I'm not doing anything to the chavis there. I'm doing something to the water, like it was designed to. It's designed to give you access to that water, to release the water. Right? In that case, it's considered to be called gavra, at least for the mind, which is yotzei b'koach risha. And this is just as a mashal of madadama, but really just a mashal. Sort of like the concept, notion of derech hashmisho b'shabbos. Right? You have several malachos, primarily bone and makbe patish, where if it's something that's derech hashmisho, it's not really considered to be. There's a malacha for that. That's not a malacha. You're not doing anything to the object. So it's not exactly the same, because here we're talking about literally not doing a maisa upon, or at least not primarily upon, that chavis. There you're talking about more whether or not it was a maisa of tikkun kli or maisa of binyan. But either way, the basic notion, they're not really doing anything to it. What you are doing an act upon is the mayim shebesocha. That you're releasing. That's an act of releasing the water shebefnim. And therefore, it's considered to be, this is all in the context of tisvayim. Again, I think this is clearly, I haven't seen anybody really points out, this doesn't come up in the Mechaber, because the Mechaber basically paskins like the Tanakama regarding Tayas Chavis, that it's Yotze, but the Tur and the Rush, they did not. They thought that you weren't Yotze. And therefore, it turns out that actually Hatzaras Maneya is actually better. And I think this could be the reason why. Derech Agav, I think, according to this general notion, I think you can explain something else. Namely, how is it that the Rush accords with the Sefta? The Sefta cites another case where Rabbi Yossi and Tanakam disagree. And that is a case of Hafkas HaMoliar. Hifkiu HaMoliar. Right, this is the, I think, I sent that to Makaras. Sefta. I think it's maybe Alech HaChess. Maybe later, maybe Yadad. Different versions. So what is this case of Hafkas HaMoliar? So the case there, the way at least the Rash explains it, and the Miri as well in the Kudra space, is that you're poking a hole in some sort of cleat. So that's the way that the mayim is now coming out. So there, with regard to the case of Moliar, so the Tosefta presents the Machlokas Riyosi, this too is Machlokas Riyosi and Tanakama. Now it happens to be that the Gra assumes that the Machlokas is specifically the Kiluach Sheni. Ladato, everybody agrees that Kiluach Rishon in the case of Moliar and this case of Barza, because everybody agrees in that case that at least Kiluach Rishon is a Raya from Kior, from Kiddush Adayin Ragayim, which we'll get to. And this is also, I believe, evident to the Miri, that the Miri thought that this case of Hakas Maliar is specifically a case of Koch Sheni that they're arguing about, but Koch Rishon, even Rabbi Yossi agrees. But the simple assumption of Maliar, and I think a lot of other Rishon seem to assume, is that's not the case. The Machlokas is a Machlokas about this case of Hakiyumas of Maliar, whether or not at all we can be Kasher, Rabbi Yossi believes that you cannot. It's not a good Nitzas Adayim. So what does the Rosh do about that case? How is that different than Barzah? So I think we can answer precisely along the lines that we just discussed, which is that this case too is worse. This case of Hafkas HaMoliar is worse. Why? So it's not like you're tipping over the whole barrel. It's a specific directed act which releases the mayim but leaves the barrel standing. But what is different about it is that in this case, I'm creating something in the barrel. I'm transforming the barrel from something which was a container to something which is now something which releases water. I'm transforming the barrel. It's a different kind of clean now. So that is an act upon the barrel. In other words, precisely because it's not derech tashmisho in that case, so you are acting primarily upon the barrel, not upon the mayim shebesocha, and therefore it's precisely the same as the tayas chavis. So both of these cases, according to the Rush, are not going to be good Lidi Tesadayim. This is all the Talmaisa for the Rush. Because both of them involve cases where you can have Nefila Me'ela Bikocha, yes, and that's what you see in our Gemara, but that's only if the act, which is Machmas, Maisa Today, Ka'azli, is an act of releasing that thing. If it's something else, poking a hole in something else which is containing that thing, or tipping the thing which is containing the Mayim over, so in those cases you're not going to say that it's viewed as Kocha, and therefore you're not going to be Yotzei Nefila Sadayim. So what emerges then is that when it comes to Atayas Chav, Isladasa Be'yotzi, so that isn't Koch Gavra. In fact, you won't be Chayav Ratzicha, you won't be Chayav, and it won't be a Shidik Sheir at all, even Mikoch Rishon. And therefore, you're possible Nitya Zadayim. When it comes to Hasar Samonea, however, so that is Koch Gavra. That's the case of Barza. And at least with Koch Rishon, you're going to be Yotze. And when it comes to Shechita and Ratzicha, so that's what you see in our Gemara, you're Chayav and your Kusher, and it's Kusher, respectively, for Koch Rishon. And regarding the case, according to what I'm saying now, regarding the case of Ose Nekev, so Bepashtus, according to what I'm saying, Huadin, with regard to Rabbi Yossi, that the Yossi is going to say, in that case, you're Pater. Happens to be that I think I mentioned Rashi gives you two cases in Chulin. One of them was Ose Nekev, Nikiv Nekev, Yisfas Hayam. So clearly this doesn't work well with Rashi, but I'm not sure everybody agrees that the case, you know, he says not specifically only where you're moving an impediment, but let's say also where you poke a hole. He happens to mention that. According to what I'm saying, if this understanding and explanation of the Rush is correct, then whatever it is that according to the Rush, that actually will be Pater as well. L'das Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so that's all one direction to explain this discrepancy that emerges within Rabbi Yossi is explained as a distinction between the two cases. I guess we'll get the alternative next time.
Thursday?
I'm good. You guys are good.